Hey, everybody. Last night's UFC card in Austin was probably the fucking craziest of the year. I mean, there were finishes all over the place, and so many of them came in the first round and inside, like, the first minute and a half, 2 minutes, right? Like, let's just read through the card real quick. We'll talk a little bit more about each fight. But Roman Dolidze versus Kyle Daukaus, first round knockout, 1 minute, 13 seconds in. Phil Haas versus Deron Wynn, second round knockout, 4 minutes, 25 seconds in. So it went a little bit longer, but this was still a good fight. And, I mean, Wynn was just taking abuse through the whole thing. Phil Haas was on fire. Cody Stamann versus Eddie Wineland. First round knockout, 1 minute, 59 seconds in. I'm sorry, 59 seconds. Maria Oliveira and Gloria DiPaolo was a unanimous decision, but it was still, I mean, they were still swinging. That was still a good fight. Ricardo Hamos versus Danny Chavez. Ricardo Hamos knocks him out with a spinning back elbow. Round one, 1 minute, 12 seconds in. Jeremiah Wells versus Court McGee. First round knockout, 1 minute, 34 seconds in. Natalia Silva versus Jasmine Judovicius. Again, good fight, but that one went the distance. Adrian Yanez versus Tony Kelly. First round knockout, 3 minutes, 49 seconds in. Why isn't this updated? I'm on MMA Junkie's site. The times aren't updated here. Let me see if I can go over to the UFC. But my point is just that, man, the knockouts just started coming and they never stop. Isn't it weird, too? I always feel this way. Not always. Like, sometimes there's randomness to the card. But sometimes there'll be, like, a tone that gets set and then it reverberates throughout the entire card. Maybe it's not that. But it feels like there's like an energy or something that influences these things, right? Maybe it's just really is strictly just the combination of, you know, the matchups that were made and these the way that they, you know, things go stylistically. I don't know, but it seems more to me like there's like this kind of like fight that'll set the tone and then the whole card will kind of like take on the tone of that. You know what I mean? Sometimes it feels that way, and this was definitely one of those times. Gregory, let's get back to reading these knockouts off real quick, and we'll talk a little bit more about each of the fights. Gregory Rodriguez knocked out Julian Marquez in the first round, 3 minutes, 18 seconds in. Ismagulov versus Guram Kutatalaje. I think I got Kutatalaje. It's got to be something like that. I'm close. Split decision, so that one went the distance. Buckley versus Albert Duraev, second round TKO. Doctor stoppage, though, right? Tim Means versus Kevin Holland, second round submission. Kevin Holland hit him with that darsh. And Calvin Kattar versus Josh Emmett was a split decision, but a good fucking fight. So it's like, I just can't remember a card in recent memory where there were so many finishes and so many first round finishes. And it started to dwindle off a little bit, I guess, as you got to the main card, but the prelims were fucking like all bangers. And the main card fights were all great too. It's just like, man, the amount of finishes. But let's start going back through some of these from the beginning, right? So starting off with Roman Dolidze versus Kyle Daukaus. Daukaus was a heavy favorite coming into this one, man. It's kind of odd that he slipped this far down the prelims, but it just kind of shows you how this was a good card in terms of the names and everything, too. But, man, Dolidze just – well, it's weird how karma kind of plays out in these fights, right? Like, Daukaus obviously headbutted Kevin Holland in the last fight, knocked him unconscious, then he picked up a win or whatever, and then I think it was overturned. I can't remember if they actually overturned it, but I believe they did. And – I think so. I think it turned into a no contest because Kevin Holland was like, I think I love that, whatever. Anyway, Kyle Daukaus eats this headbutt, right? And it's a clean headbutt, man. Like, it did some damage, for sure. And Dolidze just swarms him and ends up picking up a knockout, you know, in the first round. Like, clipped him. I think he clipped him with a left. I can't fucking remember. I just watched the fights back this morning. But he clipped him and then just kind of swarmed him and, you know, completely dominated the fight. And even when they were in like those clinch positions, you could just tell that like Dolidze was in control and he was there to fucking get the job done, and he did. Like I said, a minute 13 seconds into the first round, just kind of overwhelmed Daukaus, hurt him, and never let off when he did hurt him. And it just makes you wonder how much of that was due to the headbutt. Like, you can say it's not at all, but like, it had to have some kind of impact, right? Had to have something to do with it. I don't know. Not saying that that's why it happened, but I'm just saying, like, it'll definitely impact stuff, you know? That's a significant strike, and you're hitting them with a hard part of your head. Anyway, we move on to the next fight between Phil Haas and Deron Wynn at middleweight. And, man, Haas didn't really do anything wrong in this fight, right? Like, he was fucking dotting Deron up. I mean, hitting him with like elbows, and then he's just so crisp when he's coming down the pipe and stuff, right? Doubles up on his jab and brings the right hand over top. He was mixing knees in there, dominating the clinch positions. Like I said, hitting him with those elbows, and man, he just overwhelmed him, and he looked fucking brilliant. Those front kicks that he uses a lot. Phil Haas is scary, man. And, you know, they were talking about Deron Wynn getting to like the takedown and stuff, but Phil Haas can fucking wrestle too. And he's a big guy, so he has, like, all these advantages over Wynn. Wynn is somebody, I mean, like, also, look at how fucking Haas is built for 185 and how big he is, and look at how Wynn was built. I mean, 185 is a big weight class for Deron Wynn. You know what I mean? Like, he's got a – he could – I don't care what anyone says. Like, it's going to be hard. DC is an exception, I feel like, to this rule. Like, his body was never, like, great. But he is a big, dense dude. Like, big, right? And he has significant power, obviously, if he knocks Stipe out. Deron Wynn's never I mean, he has, but, like, not at the level that he's starting to have to fight at, right? Like, he, in my opinion, is just too fucking small for middleweight. He needs to, like, trim down a little bit, I think, and move down to a division where he's going to be able to be more competitive. You know what I mean? Because Phil Haas just fucking overwhelmed him. He had a reach advantage. He was tagging him with everything. He had a significant power advantage. He was just massive compared to Wynn in there, and he just bullied him around. And, I mean, using great technique, but damn. I mean, Haas put on a masterclass, though. Anyway, moving on, Eddie Wineland versus Cody Stamann. Man, I knew this was going to be a tough fight for Eddie Wineland, no matter how it played out, right? But I didn't expect Stamann to come out and do what he did, knocking him out in 59 seconds. Just fucking swarmed him and overwhelmed him, man. And, you know, Eddie Wineland is one of those guys who's been around for forever, but he's getting older now. And, man, that, like, style that he has where he's kind of, like, you know what I mean? That way that he moves when he's, like, man, against a guy who's just staying short, compact, he's athletic, explosive, like Cody, like, young. Gonna have a rough time, and Cody just unleashed and showed like why his style is so overwhelming against a guy like Wineland that's late in his career, especially. So big win for Cody, but man, retired Eddie Wineland, and tough way to see him go out. And you know, this is one of those matchups where you look at it and go, should they really be fighting? I don't know. At least I did. Maria Oliveira picked up a split decision victory over Gloria DePaula, and what ended up being like a great fight. Like, I feel like Maria Oliveira felt like she, like, I don't know if she looked at the odds or something and felt disrespected, but man, she came out swinging. And not that her technique is like the greatest, but she has reach, and she was throwing with fucking intent, marching forward. Like, DC was complaining about how squared she was, but it's like, it's all situational, right? Like, that might get her in trouble in a later fight, but DePaula wasn't really doing anything to counter it. Like, she wasn't sliding off and coming over the top and, like, taking advantage of it. So if it's working, it's just working. You know what I mean? Like, I understand that that was, like, something that maybe not be technically correct, but in this particular fight, it was working. Like, that style, that blitzing forward and stuff. And it was a good back-and-forth fight. I don't know. I can see why you gave it to Maria, just because she was being aggressive and doing that and kind of setting the tone of the fight. You know what I mean? There were moments where I felt like Gloria, though, like, did take over, and you could debate it either way. But, man, it was just an exciting fight either way, right? So then we move on. It was, like I'm saying, like, she just brought it. Like, she was just, like, fucking bringing it and screaming when she was punching and shit. Like, I don't know. That stuff's going to have sway, so... Good fight. Good fight. Despite the fact that it was, what, one of two decisions on the entire card? Still a great fight. Ricardo Hamos versus Danny Chavez. Man. Well, Ricardo just came out and was, like, looking for the spinning techniques real early. And throwing them often, man. Throwing kicks, right? And then he got him up against the cage and hit that spinning back elbow. And, man, beautiful performance. But again, a first round knockout a minute 12 seconds in. But yeah, I feel like Ricardo just set the pace early in this fight, started throwing stuff often, kept pressuring him backwards, giving Chavez different look, until eventually I feel like Chavez was just overwhelmed with all the options that Ricardo Hamos had shown him, and then he just, boom, landed that beautifully placed elbow. Crazy. Jeremiah Wells knocked out Court McGee in the first round, and man, like, he was kind of like taking those big chances, right? Like coming in, like throwing big punches and stuff, and McGee was just getting out of the way of them or just covering up, right? But then Wells came forward. I think he threw a left, right, and McGee felt like he was safe, and Jeremiah came around with a big left hook that caught him on the chin. So the way that he followed up and like added onto the combination in that moment, I think threw McGee off, but led to a knockout, man. And it was fucking a beautiful combination put together by Wells, and a great read made on, like I said, that fact that like maybe he realized that Court was relaxing after he threw two. So he's like 1-2, boom, three, follow it up. And it was there, put him out. Natalia Silva picked up a win over Jasmine Jezutavicius, right? And I feel like Silva was just looking good early on in the fight, kind of kept that pace. And Jasmine, like, made it tough towards the end, right? But Silva just a little bit too much for. Sorry, I'm trying to get moving through these now. Let's get to the main card. So, Adrian Yanez versus Tony Kelly. Man, you got to realize that Tony Kelly is a pretty talented dude. And he's pretty well-versed in a lot of different areas. And he's long and he's kind of difficult to deal with. And Yanez just pieced him the fuck up, man. Yanez's hands are so lightning fast. I feel like when you and he's like, pop, 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 and he's digging the body and coming back up top, and he's just like crushing that fucking like left hook into your ribs, going up, and his hands are like lightning, man. And he's very good at keeping the range that he needs to keep and getting out of the way of his opponent's strikes. He was way too fast for Kelly. Everything that Kelly threw, I felt like Yanez was out, came in, threw his own stuff, and then got back out, held where he needed to, got back in, did his work, boom, back out. And Tony just couldn't hit him, man. And it felt like when Yanez started putting those combinations together and landing as effectively as he was, you were like, okay, it's inevitable. And man, put Tony Kelly out, and fucking beautiful performance from Adrian Yanez. I'm not just saying this. I think Adrian Yanez might have the best pure hands in the UFC. I really think so. I think when you watch that motherfucker box, it's like, ooh, there's a crispness and a fluidity there that you don't see from a lot of guys. Ironically, the guy that I would have said like previous to this performance, and you know Yanez is a good boxer. He's one of the better boxers on like the card. Would have been Calvin Kattar probably. But I think if you look at the way that Yanez throws his hands, his technique and everything, he makes a real argument for it. That motherfucker can box. And he, one of the better, like, I can't get over the fluidity in his hands and the speed and the fact that everything is always returning back to where it needs to be, right? Like, he's boom, he's out, he's back in, and he's just like keeping his distance. Man, Adrian Yanez is a fucking problem. He's a real problem. I think that he's going to be a contender at bantamweight. I really do. I think that those hands are hard to deal with, right? How about Gregory Rodriguez in the next fight? I kind of felt like this might be a fight where, if Marquez made it a war, used some of his footwork, moved around a little bit more, he might be able to like eventually wear on Rodriguez. And if he turned it into a dogfight, you know, and there were glimpses of that in this, despite the fact that Marquez got hurt. But man, Rodriguez was just on top of him at every fucking turn. And that right hand, he just throws it down the pipe. And when it connects, it's like, ooh, what do you do if you get hit by that? There's so much fucking force behind it, right? And you could just tell every time he stung Marquez with it, it was fucking him up. Like, damn, that's different. And like I said, there were moments where they were like up against the cage, you know, like Rodriguez was on his back, like, and Marquez, I was like, okay, these situations look good for Gregory, but they actually might be an advantage for Marquez because he might be able to make it gritty, right? And you saw Marquez was able to get back to his feet. He returned some shots of his own, like landed, but Rodriguez, man, just kept fucking pulling back and boom, firing that right hand and sitting him down and eventually got the knockout. And just a great fucking performance. I kind of thought that that might be how it went, right? Like Rodriguez was landing early, looking really sharp, and Marquez would have to weather a storm. But Marquez never really got to that point where he could start turning the tide in his favor. Rodriguez just stayed out in front of it the whole time and kept landing and landing and landing and overwhelmed him, man. Like I said, I thought Marquez was going to make this like, and there were, like I said, there were moments where he might have been able to, and Gregory just kept it on him and never allowed it to happen. All right, Demir Ismagulov versus Gurram Kutatalache. This was a great fight, but I kind of felt like Demir just barely picked it up, right? I don't know. Very, very evenly matched. Man, Gurram's fucking kicks and everything that he goes for, I don't know. It just felt like there were moments where Demir was doing a little bit more. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Close fight. Very competitive. I was a big fan of watching this one, but I really don't know. It was one of those ones where I was like, I could have gone either way. You know what I mean? Not too upset about it either way. Joaquin Buckley versus Albert Duraev. This was the fight where, like, I could not understand the fucking odds coming into this one. Albert Duraev had fought one opponent right? Roman Kopylov, who was 0-1 in the UFC going into their matchup. Joaquin Buckley had fought, he has way more UFC fights than Duraev, and experience matters. And this is one of those fucking fights where I really felt like that shown that like really was emphasized, right? Like you really got to see it shine through because Duraev, I really do. I think when you watch him, it was just like Duraev's approach was wrong, right? He was like trying to stand with Buckley at first. And I think like he said that going into the press conference, he was going to try to do that. And then Buckley stung him. And now you're hunting for the takedown. Like the way to do it is not to plan on standing with him and then get stunned and realize like, oh, it's time to go for the takedown. But that's what will come with experience. And that's why this fight, I like betting on Buckley. I mean, I've been getting my fucking ass beat betting lately, right? Like I'm way down. But this one, I was pretty confident in Buckley. And I couldn't understand why the odds weren't close to even. And the fact that Buckley was almost a plus 200 underdog made no sense to me, right? And you just got to see. I said this too. Big explosive guys are hard to take down. And for Duraev, the game plan has to be, I'm standing, but this is a means to an end. I'm putting volume on my opponent. I'm using pressure. I'm showing him looks at the takedown early and often. Even if he defends him, I'm just going to consistently wear on him. But when you don't make the fight about that, I think Duraev is probably, if I'm being honest, more skilled. I think his ceiling is probably higher than Buckley's. But if you look at the way that he approached the fight, it was just like the experience wasn't there, right? He needed to, I think, keep marching him down with each. He found success with like the head kick and stuff. But it's like you have to put Buckley on the back foot slowly. And you have to be smart about how you do it. You need to put this up against the cage more often. You can't give him space. Because when Buckley starts connecting, it's easier for him to fend the takedowns off now because they're predictable, right? Because now Buckley's ahead in the striking exchanges, and he knows that at some point the shots are coming. And since he's controlling the striking, Duraev is never landing to set the takedowns up, so it leaves things kind of one-dimensional, right? I really, like, it was the experience in this one. I think that Duraev is a great fucking fighter. I think he has a lot of potential. I think he does a lot of things right. I just think he had the wrong approach in this fight, right? I think he should have went with pressure, grinding up against the cage, as accepting the fact that some of these takedowns are going to be, like, fended off, but just keeping Buckley on the back foot, throwing volume, trying to stay out of the way of his shots, and just never stopping. Instead, he tried to get into, like, it felt like a kickboxing match early, then got stunned, and from there it was looking for the takedown when it wasn't really there. So I think just corrections that Duraev needs to make after this fight, I think he comes back a lot better for it. And you'll see a different style of approach in like his next fight. But congratulations to Buckley, man. It was a fucking great win. And Buckley was looking good, right? And he just conserved his energy well, right? And just kept landing and landing on him, and boom, fucking swelled his eye up to the point where like you had to stop that fight. He couldn't fucking see out of it. It was in terrible shape. And he wasn't doing anything to make you think that he would have went out and controlled that third round. Like Buckley won the second round clearly. All right, next, Tim Means versus Kevin Holland. Man, Kevin Holland is just one of those guys who is going to be hard to deal with no matter what. And I really felt like that would be the case in this fight too. I mean, Tim Means had some moments where he landed some nice shots and stuff, but Tim Means really gets going when he can like line things up with his jab, right? Then he's able to more effectively do everything that he does. I mean, he works well in the clinch. He throws great elbows. He actually has some nice takedowns and stuff. You saw that a little bit in this, right? He took Holland down a couple times, but it's like Holland is just such a long, awkward fighter. He's not very orthodox in how he throws things, and I feel like he's just hard to get a beat on. And when Means couldn't get a beat on him, like they'd get into some exchanges and stuff, and it just felt like Holland was a little bit faster, cracking him from places where Tim Means couldn't quite reach Kevin and stuff. And then, you know, they came out, he hurt him in the second round, and then Holland jumped all over the submission. And I'm going to do a breakdown of that as well, so keep an eye out for that. Maybe if I remember, I'll put it right here in the video, right? One of these sides. But yeah, keep an eye out for that. We'll break down that submission because it was beautiful from Kevin Holland. But just one of those fights again where Holland, I just felt like a little bit too skillful, a little bit too unpredictable for Tim Means. All right, now we get to the main event, and we've got Calvin Kattar versus Josh Emmett. And we talk a lot lately about like robberies and stuff like that. I don't think that you can get upset about the way that this fight got scored either way. I mean, obviously, when you listen to the guys in the press conference and stuff like that, one guy's going to think that they won and one guy's going to think that they lost. But man, I'll tell you what, I watched the fight this morning and I felt like Josh Emmett won the first round It was close, but I just feel like the work he did to the body and like he was throwing the bigger shots, kind of moving Cater around the octagon, pushing him to where he didn't want to be. In a close round, I just felt like that was a little bit more impactful, right? The second round, I felt like I gave to Cater because I felt like he controlled the range a little bit better, right? Like he wasn't allowing that to happen as often. He was getting his jab working a little bit, catching Emmett at the end of his shot. So I felt like Cater took the second. Then I felt like Emmett came out and really got aggressive in the third round and just took it over, right? Like I think that Cater had his moments of success, but for the most part, Emmett was just coming in and ripping and coming up top, over, you know, those big shots and then going to the body and just putting work on Cater. And I feel like, again, really moving him around the octagon and he just kind of dictated the pace of the fight, right? Like take away all the striking numbers and how close and stuff they were. Like the things that Emmett was doing were just more significant, right? Like he was just throwing bigger shots and they were more impactful despite the fact that Cater was covering up, right? So I gave the third round to Emmett. And then I gave the fourth round to Cater. I thought the fourth round was the cleanest round that we saw from Cater. And in fact, I kind of think the fourth round was more clear cut than the fifth. I think Cater edged the fifth round out. He caught in the fourth round, you got to realize too, Cater hurt Emmett, right? With that clean right hand that he let. And then Emmett had a nice flurry at the end of the round, and I don't know if that swayed some people, but I really felt like Cater took the fourth round very clearly. It was the most obvious round. He was picking him apart. He was controlling the footwork a little bit more, pushing him backwards. And Emmett would throw those, but they were like fewer and far. They were like less and less, right? And then in the fifth round, I felt like Cater won the fifth, just barely. I'd have to watch it back, to be honest with you. But like, Emmett was still throwing those big, powerful shots and stuff like that, right? And I think that, like, yeah, Cater won. Cater won the fifth round. I do believe that. But, like, I kind of think the fourth round was more clear-cut than the fifth. And I think I was looking at the scorecards earlier. There's a reason that I wanted to bring that up, right? Here we go. Let's see. Sorry, I'm scrolling down through. I want to see how the judges scored the fight. Because like I said, I thought what the fuck? Means, Buckley, Duraev, Marquez, Rodriguez. Damn, they have like every fight, but I'm on MMA Junkie. I don't know if like their site's like sorry guys. UFC scorecards, Austin. Because I feel like I brought this up because one of the judges I think one of the judges gave the fourth round to Emmett. They gave like I can't remember what they were. I can't find it right now, guys. I don't know why. I'm Googling it. I went to MMA Junkie's thing, but the scorecards for the actual main event aren't popping up on MMA Junkie's site. Like they're not loading for some reason. So I don't fucking know. But my point is, I thought that the fourth, everybody was like, yeah, the fifth round was like the round that you gave to Cater. I felt like the fourth round was more clear cut. And I felt like one of the judges, I believe, gave the fourth round to Emmett, which didn't make sense to me. So anyway, I felt like Cater won the fight, but I can understand why Emmett won, and I have no problem with the split decision. I can understand how you could like view some of those rounds. You might have even gave 1, 2, and 3 straight to Emmett. Like that wouldn't bother me at all, right? Fourth and fifth, I really did feel like belonged to Cater, but I think you could have gave the first three rounds to Emmett, no problem, right? So it's like, I don't have a problem with the decision, but if you dig a little bit deeper into the judges' scorecards, as I tried to do and fucking can't find it, right? But if you dig into the judges' scorecards, it's like, it's the way that we're arriving at these decisions, right? I'd just like to see a little bit more consistency in clear-cut rounds from the judges. Like, there shouldn't be this big of a discrepancy on what's happening, right? Like, I don't know how you watch the fourth round and give that round to Josh Emmett. It doesn't make sense to me, but anyway, I digress. I've bitched about it enough. Like I said, guys, keep an eye out for the breakdown I'm going to do on the fight between Kevin Holland and Tim Means. We'll break down the submission that Holland locked up. And yeah, keep an eye out. We'll get a breakdown for Armon Tsarukyan versus Mataush Gamrot. That's coming up this weekend. That's a big fight and a big spot for both of those guys. So we'll get a breakdown out for the main card on that. Yeah, thank you guys for tuning in. I appreciate it. Have a good day. Bye-bye.